Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 verses 5 to 7, Romans chapter 1 verses 5 to 7. Let us read the passage together. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verses 2 to 3, is following on with the verses that we read today. Jesus Christ, who took on flesh, who came to this earth, he is the gospel. The gospel is the personhood of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, there are two natures, the divine nature and the human nature. His human nature, he is the descendant of David. Now, his divine nature was the fact that he was the risen Son of God. So as for his earthly life, he took on flesh, he came to this earth, but he came and he died and rose again to be acknowledged as the Holy Son of God. That he came and died and rose again. And within that historical fact is contained the reality of the gospel. And within that gospel is not tainted with the things that our flesh and our earthly bodies would desire and look for, but it simply states that God himself came to this earth and he died and rose again. He came to solve the problem of sin. He did not simply come to teach a good religion, a good philosophy, whereas in other religions, the teaching is very important. They consider it important to teach people what to do and what not to do. But the reality is that contained within humankind, there is no ability for the mankind to keep the commandments of God. And from birth, we are born in sin, and we live and we are headed towards death, and therefore there is nothing to rely upon mankind. There is nothing to account for mankind. There is nothing to look for in a mankind. So therefore there is nothing to teach to mankind that they can truly keep. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that regardless of what good teaching he gave, that mankind was utterly unable to keep them because they were dead in their sin. And contained within them all that is found is sin and death. And therefore, as we live, the reality of sin within us is displayed through our lives. And contained within us, we live our lives in misery and in endless pursuit of trying to be good, trying to be holy like the angels. And our lives are filled with agony and pain, and we try to solve and resolve the problems of life, but we do not find an answer to that. And it is because we are living in sin and death. And all that is reserved for mankind from their birth is sin and death, and that we are all headed towards our grave. So that is our true nature, the ones who are headed to death and grave, the ones who are filled with sin. So such is the mankind's nature existence. And to such a being, what good is it to teach them good morals and good teachings to expect any good out of it? And God knew that reality. And he knew that there must be an end to that such old life, and that he must begin anew. And therefore, he became man. He came to this earth, and without any complaint, without any word, he died and rose again, and he did his work of salvation. So what is now reserved for us is to die with Christ and is to be born again with Christ, to rise again with Christ. And that is the gospel, and to believe that and for the gospel to be a reality in our lives, it is possible through faith. So Christian faith is not merely about listening to good teaching. And if someone tells you, be like Christ, can you truly be like Christ? If someone tells you, love the Lord, can you truly love God? And if it is at all possible, you might be able to obey the command to love one another, but even obedience to that command, it is very limited in their efforts to love one another. And to such a being, if the commandment is given to love God, that is not that is possible for mankind. And such is the existence of mankind. And the Bible knows that. And instead, it teaches that God himself became a man. He came, lived his perfect life, and died and rose again. In the beginning, he took on flesh, came to this earth, and even with that very fundamental truth, the mankind cannot truly receive and believe it. To believe the fact that he came through a virgin, that is a great stumbling block. And secondly, the fact that he died and rose again, that is another great stumbling block for a man to believe. Their intellect says, how can a man die and live again? The fact that God became man and died and rose again, that is the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, with a divine and earthly nature, that God became man, and he came onto this earth where the mankind were. God, the Creator, came to this earth to be one with mankind, and also to draw mankind to himself. God became a man. God came to this earth as Jesus Christ, who had the divine and the earthly nature. So he lived and died and rose again. He was acknowledged, he was proclaimed as the Son of God, empowered by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So to say that he was appointed the Son of God, empowered by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, what does that mean? That means he came as a son of man and died and rose again. So now he's ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ, is God a man? And if God did not have his earthly nature, if God did not come as a man here on earth, then we have no grounds to be saved, because Jesus Christ took on himself the nature of a man and he died and rose again. Therefore, we are included in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in the life of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection is of great importance. And in that life of Jesus Christ, there is not much of teaching involved. There is not much of teaching about good morals and good life, because Jesus Christ has accomplished and completed his work of salvation. Why did God, a man, become a man? He became a man to redeem us and to save us. And in order to redeem us, there had to be the spilling of blood, shedding of blood. And that is why in Hebrews 9, it talks about how without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So therefore, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth as a man to redeem us, to forgive our sins, to do away with our sins, to cleanse us from our sins. And that is not enough. And after the sins are forgiven and our sins are cleansed, like the story that Jesus told, that after the evil spirits left, and once the house is kept clean and wiped clean, that the evil spirit, if that house is empty, that evil spirit would return. And so Jesus is saying is it is not enough to just clean out the house, clean out the inner man of mankind, but to come and dwell within the hearts of mankind, Jesus Christ had to die and rise again that he might come into us as the spirit who dwells within us. So he rose again to give us life. So within us, Jesus Christ now dwells within us to give us life, to enable us to live again, to enable us to live a holy life. So what is important is that God came as a man, that he died and rose again, and to be our true life, Jesus rose again. And it is critical for the Spirit of Christ to live in with us, that his power, that his spirit, that his presence might be displayed, that his glory might be displayed through us. So we were created in his own image, in his own likeness. So regardless of whether you have fame, power, or money, Apostle Paul pointed to that and said they were all rubbish. It is because even if you have all of those worldly things, you would eventually die. So all of those worldly things are not important, but it is the opposite. The more you have of those worldly things, it is more difficult for you to believe in Jesus Christ. It is more difficult to receive faith. Oftentimes, what people confuse as faith is merely their will. The fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he set aside all of my old self, and he created me as a new creation, that is difficult to believe. But the mankind easily look upon themselves, and they are burdened and downcasted with their shortcomings, their sins. But the fact that God became a man and he died and rose again, that all of that was to set aside the sinful mankind and to make it possible for a new creation. And that all of that has been completed already. And for our death to be a reality in our lives, for our forgiveness of sins to be reality in our lives, for our sonship to be a reality in our lives, it is not something that takes over many years, but it is something that is instantaneous when faith comes. It is not based on our will to believe. It is the gift of God. It is given through the Spirit of God. So in Romans, when God gave him his revelation to be given to the church of Rome, and that revelation was that God did not desire to have his only son, Jesus Christ, but he desired for many sons of God to be born. And that's what the book of Romans is all about. It is about his only son, Jesus Christ, and his many sons through Jesus Christ. And it is about how Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus, is revealed through his many sons. It is not about obligations and responsibilities that is written in the book of Romans, but it speaks of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. So his perfect life is our perfect life, and that is what is written in the book of Romans. So it is like a seed that is planted on the ground, and if that seed dies on the ground, there arises many fruits resulting from the death of the seed. And that is what it speaks of if you begin to read from the beginning of book of John. It speaks about that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And that Word became flesh and made his dwelling upon us, and in him was life. And it talks about how Jesus, who came to this earth to testify, he came to this earth as a light. And it talks about how that true light, Jesus Christ, that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God is not content with his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, but his desire is for the redemption of the sons of God. So through his Son, through his only Son, Jesus Christ, he redeemed us, he saved us. So through his Son, Jesus Christ, he made it possible for Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, to enter into us. And once Jesus dwells within us, he made it possible for his glory to be revealed. And you do not know when a seed is planted, what kind of seed is planted on the ground, but you know what kind of seed that is when the seed dies and the new growth takes place out of the ground. So he's through his death and resurrection, he was appointed the Son of God. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we were declared his sons. And so the reason that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die and rise again is to found himself, his children, his sons and daughters. So for that, he sent his seed, he sent his Son Jesus Christ. He sent his first Son, that he might have many sons of God. And who are those sons of God? Those who are born again to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. So Jesus became the first Son. Jesus became the first. That does not mean that Jesus is our model for us to try to do and act like Jesus. But Jesus is the first in line. Jesus is the one that God looks at to credit his righteousness to us. And when does his righteousness become ours? It is when we look upon the life of Christ through faith. And through faith, we become the sons of God. If you go into your house and tell them that you are a son of God, they may look at you and shake their head and think that you are a crazy person out of his mind. But that is what the scripture says, that reality, that realization will come through faith, that you are made into a son of God. When Jesus came here on earth declaring himself as the Son of God, his own fleshly brothers thought that he was crazy, and later on they realized Jesus Christ wasn't just their earthly brother, but Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. And such is the work that Jesus has done. He took upon flesh, he lived a perfect life, he rose again to give us life. So what characterizes the mankind's life today? It is sin. It is shame. When a flower finally blooms, then we know what kind of flower that is. So for the seed, for us to know what kind of seed that seed has to die and the flower has to bloom for us to know what kind of seed that is. So beloved, God has called us to be in such a glorious position, but there is nothing we have done. It is all through the work of Jesus Christ, his death, his life, his death, and his resurrection. So we are moved to a place of such a glory that we are made able to reveal his glory. But the reality is, if you look at your life, are you one who truly display the glory of Christ? Your life is filled with things that would shame you, things that would that the world would point their finger at, and that such glorious life is only possible when Christ truly dwells within you, both in your heart, both in your body. In the future, our body and soul will be able to truly reflect and display the glory of Christ. So here on earth today, there has to be some resemblance of the glory of Christ within our lives for the others in the world to see the working of Christ within us. But instead of revealing the glory of Christ, many in church today are corrupt, and people instead bring the influences of the world into the church. On the outside, we may have a name of a church, but in the inside, it is corrupt. And the world looks at us and say, we work for what we want. But they point to the church and say, they sit in the church and they are corrupt, pursuing after the things of the world without even working at it. And in book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 29 to 30, let's read those verses together. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You notice that this is stated all in past tense to indicate that God has already accomplished it all. And some of these things are a future to us, but God states these as past realities, that he predestined us, that he conformed us, that he called us, justified us, and glorified us. And it is all because at the cross of Jesus Christ, these realities became true for us, that he accomplished, that he finished his work of salvation, his work of justification, his work of glorification at the cross. So by faith, we come to believe that these are a reality in our lives. We come to believe that God has accomplished his work. And when the Spirit of Christ comes into us, we truly come to believe what Christ has done at the cross. So all these works are done at the cross, but we simply do not believe it because of lack of faith. So, beloved, as a parent on earth knows the needs of their children, as we have our own children, we know our children. As a father who had children, we slowly come to understand the heart of our own fathers. That only happens after we ourselves have our own children. We slowly come to understand the hearts of our own fathers and mothers. And it is not something that is taught, but it is something that becomes a knowledge to us through our experiences as being a father to our own children. And so when we receive faith, when the faith is granted unto us, then we can look into our past and believe and to see what God has been doing in our lives. So that is what Romans is all about. That book of Romans tells us that God desires sons of God, not only his only begotten Son. That so for the purpose for God to send his Son Jesus Christ to find himself his sons. So that is the greatest glory that we can receive, to be declared as God's children. Even though now here on earth we are ashamed of our own deeds and our acts, but Jesus Christ comes and enters into us and begins to display his glory. That is the glory of a mankind. It is incomparable to the glory that we can attain from this world, that is not true glory. The wealth and health and the power and everything else of this world is not the true glory. Once the life of Jesus Christ enters into us, we are made truly able to love those around us, to come to know those around us, to come to see others as ourselves, that when faith enters into us, the sufferings of others becomes our own suffering. That is the result of life of Christ residing within us. And if anyone truly begins to live such a life with Christ within them, then we are not concerned about how educated they are, how powerful they are. But the powerful of the world, the wealthy of the world, all you can find within them is pride of life. We do not see or experience humility. We do not see any reliance upon God. Instead, the mankind, apart from faith, declares themselves as God, their own master and Lord. And in fact, the world acknowledges those people. So in Romans, we see the goal and the purpose of God to send His Son Jesus Christ and found Himself His sons to make you and me the sons of God. So to be appointed as the sons of God, and in Christ we are going through similar experiences of life. Beloved, even though you may lack much faith now, God will do it. It is a matter of obedience. It is a matter of obeying the work of Christ within our lives that would speed up that process. Beloved, you and I must not put our hope in this world. Beloved, think about it. Those of you who are sitting here in the pews today, what is your purpose in life? Are all of your purposes in life found in this world, or in God? Are you here living to attain the wealth and health and the power of this world? Is it wealth? Is it materialistic things? Is it certain circumstances of life? What is it? What do you live for? What is your purpose in life? Beloved, you must not place your hope, place your purpose in life in the things of this world, because they are all in vain. Beloved, you must pursue after the goal that Christ has set for us. And if you reflect upon your journey up to today, you will see that it is a process that God is taking you through to become like Christ, to become the sons of God. And if you come to truly believe that and see that reality, how God has been leading you and guiding you to take you to that ultimate goal in life. And such must be your prayer in life instead of for the things of this world. So the purpose that God has for us, pray that God's purpose for us will be fulfilled in our lives. So beloved, you must not remain simply as the earthly man, but you must be appointed and become the sons of God. And in other words, you must be born again, that you must be glorified, you must be made into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things are not done based on my own will and strength, but it is through the life of Christ that resides within each and every one that is made possible. Verse 5, it says, through Him, through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience. So through Him, through Jesus Christ, it says that we receive grace and apostleship. So, beloved, this is speaking of Apostle Paul. This is speaking of the apostles who were with Jesus Christ. That is right. But Jesus Christ, whom they were declaring and proclaiming, we have placed our faith in the same Jesus Christ. Beloved, you and I may not be the apostles, and we will never be the apostles. They were the pillars of the church. Simply, by faith, we do not become apostles. But, it says, through him we receive grace and apostleship. And what is that? Grace, grace is favor granted unto a undeserving person. That is grace. We have no qualification to receive the salvation, to receive Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the grace. So for Jesus to come into us, he does not just enter into you. That he, Jesus Christ, had to die and rise again, because through his death and resurrection, my problem of sin was answered and resolved. And he rose again as a spirit who gives life, and now he is made able to come into each and every one of us. The fact that God went through life, death, and resurrection, enabling him to come into us, that is grace. So this grace was offered to us as a gift of God without anything and without any works requiring of us. But this fallen world continues to try to add something to the grace of God. They add man's works. They add man's will. They try to teach that it is important to believe, but it is also important for you to add your works to the salvation offered unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ. There are churches that teach that you must obey the commandment of God, that you must have good morals in order for you to be accepted by God. Some teach that, yes, you must have faith, but you must add the works of the law to that. And beloved, this is all chaff that must be burned. These are all yeast that adds to the perfect work of salvation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, none of our works must be added to the grace of God, to the work of his grace. So if we add anything to what God has done, then it is no longer grace. Grace simply is the gift of God given to us. So when grace, without anything from us, comes upon us, then it results in praises and giving glory to God. Beloved, the more grace you receive, the more rest you experience. The more praises come from your life, because it is absent of any works, any burdens. It is not even thinking that you must add a little bit of work, a fraction of work to what God has done. None of that. But now, in God's grace, in his finished work of grace, your salvation is finished, complete. And it is because we do not realize that we try to add to the work of God's grace. Beloved, that is adding to the gospel, adding to the grace of God, is the work of Satan. Satan tries to keep grace from being grace. That is the pride upon pride. So, depending on where you are in your faith journey, there are those who are still laboring, and there are those who have let go of all of their laboring and are finding rest. So depending on the measure of your faith, it results in what kind of life you are living, whether you are still laboring away or whether you are still resting. And just as God created the world in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. The position of resting, that, beloved, is the place for every mankind, for us to rest in Christ. even now you sitting there thinking and rehearsing about what you have to do, telling yourself how many chapters of Bible you have to read. Beloved, I am not saying you should not read the Bible, but I am warning you against your will to do works, to add to what God has accomplished. So, beloved, something greater has to come into your life. People may falsely accuse us of teaching, don't pray, don't read the Bible. But what I'm saying is to go to the cross. What I'm saying is to find your rest in Jesus Christ. And they may look at us and say that we are cultic because we don't pray hard enough, we don't read hard enough, we teach people to not do any works. But the greater the grace of God is upon our hearts, we let go of more of our own works. So it says, through him we receive grace and apostleship. And this apostleship originally was of a great importance in position, because through the apostles the church of God was found. But beloved, by extension, all of us were called to be the apostles, to bring the gospel to this world. And through such people, the gospel is preached. So, beloved, the qualification for preaching the gospel is not 4 years of seminary. Beloved, that is a remnant of a religious life. It is not education. It is not denomination. It is not being called and installed as a preacher or a pastor or a missionary. But, beloved, it is the person who have received the grace of God. We must be freed from religion. It is not merely the intellectual knowledge of the New Testament. The qualification for the apostles of today is not in all the intellectual knowledges, in all the degrees. Beloved, that is the doing of this world. That is how this world operates after they sinned against God, based on their knowledge of right and wrong. So from this worldly perspective, you have to have knowledge. You have to have worldly wisdom. You have to have wealth. And this world looks for such people and considers them as elite. But in building the kingdom of God, it requires absolutely, completely something opposite. Beloved, again, I'm not telling you you must not go to seminary. I'm not telling you you must not study the Bible. But what I'm telling you is true evangelism in the kingdom of God is not done by the person who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and who bases their evangelism based on their mere intellectual knowledge of the Bible. What good is simply intellectually knowing and memorizing the Bible if you have not encountered the person of Jesus Christ, which the scripture is written about? And when Jesus comes into our hearts, he is the tree of life. It is whether you are eating from the tree of life or from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But sadly, beloved, this world tries to build the kingdom of God through by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what I'm telling you is not that you shouldn't study, you shouldn't go to seminary, you shouldn't read the Bible. But what I'm telling you is that by circumstances, some of you may not be educated. Some of you may not be so bright. What I'm telling you that in the kingdom of God, whether you are learned or unlearned, whether you are poor or rich, that all of us have been born in sin and death. That if you truly receive the person of Jesus Christ, then you'll be eating from the tree of life. That Christ, the eternal life, is residing within you. If you have that life of Christ within you, then you will truly begin to be able to believe the truth of the gospel. Beloved, The Bible is not an object of mere research and study, but it is a book about the person of Jesus Christ. So when that person of Christ becomes a reality in your life, then you'll be able to truly be able to live life according to the Bible. So the person who has a person of Jesus Christ residing within them, that is truly a successful person, regardless of the level of wealth and knowledge they have. And such life is enough to be victorious against the world. Such life is enough to give us power, give us life, give us joy. So those who have the person of Jesus Christ, such is a person where the glory of Christ will be displayed. They may not be that articulate in words, because it says kingdom of God is not in mere words, is not in merely worldly power. But the truth, the reality of the gospel will somehow illuminate, go from that person. It would somehow be revealed through that person. It's like a person who has eaten certain food like doenjang, soybean paste in Korean food. You don't have to have learned all about such food to be able to explain, but you just simply had to taste it. If you have tasted this food, then you will be able to explain and communicate of its taste. Beloved, it is the kingdom of God is not in mere words, but it is in the Spirit. It is in the power of the Spirit that resides within you. So the church, the present church today, it grants unto each and every one of us who have the person of Jesus Christ residing with us, then we are made able to preach the gospel and witness the person of Jesus Christ to others. Beloved, those in the upper room in the early church, they were not educated. They were not the riches of the world. They were not the famous of the world. So, beloved, you may be slow in speech, but if you have the person of Jesus Christ, even if you are not well versed in the specific verses in the Bible, if you have the person of Jesus Christ, then you will be able to testify the reality of the person of Christ that resides within you through the power of the Spirit. Beloved, you alone cannot truly be a true witness of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, verses 13 through 15, we'll read those verses together. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beloved, it talks about everyone who is called, who is sent. So, beloved, how can they who are sent preach unless they are sent? And how can they be sent unless they believe in the one whom they preach? So, beloved, for those who have the person of Jesus Christ residing within them, they do not even have to even say so many words, but they simply have to live their life with Christ residing within them. Their lives, their simple lives, would simply become the gospel, become the revealing of the person of Jesus Christ. So if Christ has come to you, what need is there for you to preach? But the need there is simply fellowship. If you fellowship together with other believers, then the glory of Christ is revealed. then you become co-laborers. You simply have to be a man and a woman that God has created you to be, whether you are at work, in your family. If you have the person of Christ, you become laborers for Christ. Not those of us who have the title of pastors, but I pray that all of us would become true pastors, true evangelists, true laborers of Christ, true witnesses of Christ who have the person of Christ residing within them, through such persons that God moves and works. So if you have the life of Christ, when you meet with one another, then your words become the words of the gospel. Beloved, that is the early church. That is the body of Christ. That is the church of Christ today. And so through the pandemic, through coronavirus, if nothing else, it should have taught us to go back to the place of where we come from. It has shaken us, and it is a good opportunity for us to return to the place that God has created us for. So all of Nasong, those belonging to Nasong Church, do you work? Then your place of work, employment, becomes your church. Your family becomes your church, where you live your life with Christ dwelling within you, for you to display the reality of the person of Christ. So I say, even the ones who graduate from seminaries, they have to have the person of Christ within them. And for those who come not from the seminary, they also have to have the person of Jesus Christ. Then the whole church of Christ will be truly blessed and become the body of Christ, who reveal the truth and the glory of Christ. So, beloved, we are living in the end times. Things are so complicated. I heard that in San Francisco that they are not prosecuting and arresting people if they haven't stolen anything of value greater than $1,000. We are living in a strange times. Lies are spoken and communicated and presented as truths. Truth is accused as being lies, and lies are proclaimed and reported as truths. And now the people are protesting to get rid of police forces. So where are all these things coming from? To do away with the law, to do away with a police. And in Revelation, the more we get close to the end, it teaches that the world around us will lift its evil head, becoming more and more like the reality of Satan. And we see that reality becoming more and more apparent and revealed, even as we read the newspapers these days and we look at our children and we ache for the world in which they will be living in. Beloved, in the days of persecution, you and I will be able to stand the test of our faith only when the person of Christ is living within us. Those are the ones who are the witnesses, who are the apostles, who are the pastors. And I pray that all of us would become laborers for Christ, that all of us would become such evangelists and apostles for Christ, that Christ has shown to us first of what is possible if we place our faith in Christ, that if we are born again and have Christ residing within us, then the presence of Christ within us would enable us to spread the gospel, that there will be the miraculous work of His gospel done through each and every one of us who have the person of Christ residing within us. And in order to do such work for Christ, then Christ, the person of Christ, must dwell within us. There are 100 of us or 200 of us, but there is only one person of Christ residing in each and every one of us, which unites us as one church. And in verse 6, after it says, through him who we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And it says, and you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So, beloved, we today must be the work and the grace of Christ revealed onto this world. And the question is, when is the glory of Christ revealed through us? It is the light of Christ revealed through us when the person of Christ is residing within us. So if Christ has come into us, if we have the life of Christ within us, and as we live according to the life within us, then what is shown through our lives, what shines through our lives, is not ourselves, but it is Christ who resides within us. We are made able to do things that a earthly person cannot perform or cannot do. It becomes natural because it is the person of Christ who resides within us. And when the world around us sees the glory of Christ displayed through our lives, they are attracted to us. They are attracted actually to the person who is within us. So, beloved, the glory of Christ is not revealed through the things of the world that we could attain in our lives, but the glory of Christ shines throughout our lives because of the person of Christ that resides within us. So if you don't want to be ridiculed by the world, if you don't want to be ridiculed as simply a fake and a religious person, beloved, you must first receive the person of Christ and live your life according to the life of Christ that lives in you. So we experience that in our lives when we are suffering, when we go through difficulties of life. We run into these people that come into our lives. Through them, we experience the joy of Christ. We experience the peace of Christ. Just a few moments ago, before our encounter with such a person, we may have been in anxiety, suffering, no answers to what we're going through, but we experience fellowship with such people with Christ within them. We find answers, we find peace, and we are thankful for encountering the living person of Christ through another person who have Christ residing within them. So in our misery, so in our discouragements, it is only when Christ enters into us that we can be encouraged and strengthened. It is Christ who makes that possible. And that is the glory reserved for us. When what we do is for the name of Jesus. In verse 6 it says, And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ. It says, Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus. And before that, in verse 5, it speaks to Gentiles. It says, to call the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And beloved, so when faith comes, then works happens. Obedience happens. So you can say faith and obedience is one. I'm not talking about obedience to the law. I'm not talking about the obedience resulting from our own works. I'm not talking about works apart from Christ. So through the working of the faith, then we move about. Then we live lives not according to our flesh. So this is obedience that results from faith. Beloved, genuine faith, true faith, results in obedience. That is why faith without works is dead. So it says again, Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake, and you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Those who have eaten from the tree of knowledge good and evil belong to Satan. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been made one with Christ, now belong to Christ. He is the one who created us. He created us as creations for Him. He created us as creation to display His glory. He created us to enjoy the abundance of Christ. He created us to be the vessel that display the glory of Christ. And these are the ones who belong to Christ. And so if you live for yourself, if you pursue after the things that you think would bring you satisfaction and contentment in life, then why do many people want to abandon their own lives and even put an end to their own lives? Because it is because you are pursuing after the things that will not truly bring you what you think they will bring. Because it is because, beloved, you were created to be a vessel that contained the person of Jesus Christ. And for such you are called to belong to Jesus Christ, who is the father of those who are called. It is Abraham. And who are the fathers of those who are created? It is Adam. Beloved, Abraham was one who was called among the ones who were created. And God calls Abraham to go from the land of his fathers. Beloved, those who belong to that which was created fell and now belong to Satan. But, beloved, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has called us. He has called us separate, away from this world. So, for those who are called, everything that belongs to this world is poisonous to those who are called. So, we must take ourselves out of this world, separate from this world. So, beloved, everything that we used to be have been called away from this world, to be separate from this world. How blessed is that call. And as we set the things of this world aside and we come out of that world, then we enter into Jesus Christ. That is the work of faith. To know that we are hopeless, to know that we are unable, and to put an end to all of our works, all of our plans, and we throw them away. And to believe and to put faith is to come to know the one who calls you. He is calling you to give you something, and He is calling us to come away, come out of the first creation. He is calling us to come out of our old selves. And when you come out, then you will encounter Jesus Christ. Then faith will be granted and you will go deeper and deeper into Jesus Christ. And for such purpose, God has called you out of this world and into Jesus Christ. And when you do, then all that is of Christ now belongs to you. So even today, beloved, you must surrender and let go of the things that belong to your old self, from your own thought, from your own plans, from your own works, from your own desires for the things of this world. And God calls us out to Jesus Christ. And He, when we do, He replaces all those things with the things of Christ. In verse 7, it says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we are called, then we'll have the grace and peace. And some will say, I don't know if Jesus loves me and he loved me. I can sense and experience how others love me, but I can't seem to know and experience the fact that God loved me. Is that how it is with you? Are you one who does not know the love of God? Are you one who does not know that you are being loved? And I heard some say that God may love all others, but I do not sense his love for me. Sometimes I hear people say that God may have died for all others in the world, but I do not sense that he died for me. But the reality is that Jesus Christ, even today, is knocking on your hearts, and it says when you do open the door, he will come in and he will eat with you. And people fail to hear the knock on the door. And it is because people are knocking on the door themselves and therefore not hearing Jesus Christ knocking. It is as if people on both sides are knocking on the door. So apparently when you're knocking on the door, you do not hear the other person knocking on the other side. Therefore, if you want to hear Jesus Christ knocking in your heart, you must stop knocking and simply be still and hear the person of Christ knocking at the door of your hearts. And when you do remain still and quiet, God will work within your hearts to simply seek and ask for the person of Jesus Christ. That is a place of most blessed. Those who seek only for the person of Jesus Christ and not seeking for anything else now, only for the person of Jesus Christ. That is the most blessed prayer. All else would disappear. Even when you are hungry and suffering, your prayer is asking and seeking for the person of Jesus Christ. In similar ways, when sufferings come, you are moved to pray for the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because by the grace of God, he has moved you to a point that everything else do not matter in comparison to the person of Jesus Christ dwelling within you. So, beloved, it is not in the past tense, but it is now. He has resurrected, he has rose again, and he is now knocking at the door of your hearts. Let us pray. Father, we have meditated upon your word this morning. We ask your spirit to work within us, that your word will become a reality in our lives. Help us not to fear our circumstances, Lord. Help us not to fear the circumstances that affects our earthly bodies today, but help us, Lord, to look to Christ. Help us to be united with Christ as one. And help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.